In just a moment, we're going to continue our Sunday school lesson on Peter's lesson in trust. We're studying a series of lessons about the life and letters of Peter. And we're going to begin in just a moment in Matthew 14 and verse 23, where it says, "And after he," now this is Jesus, "after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when even was come, he was there alone." Well, we'll begin in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read the verse we'll begin with again. It says, "After he," now that's Jesus, "after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray, and when even was come, he was there alone." Matthew 14 and verse 23. He went up into the mountain apart, that is, alone, where he spent most of the night in prayers. We'll see by verse 25. Jesus prayed often and spent much time in secret prayer. Here he spent nearly a whole night after the work and weariness of the day. And as we have already learned, Jesus became hungry, tired, weary, and sleepy. But he was never too hungry and tired to bless suffering humanity or too weary to pray to God. Just before choosing the apostles, he spent the whole night in prayer. It was necessary for Jesus to pray. He needed the strength, wisdom, encouragement, and spiritual blessings which come through earnest, sincere prayer. At this time, one of his mightiest temptations was again presented, that is, to become an earthly king with an immediate success and to live in ease and splendor instead of working out the salvation of the race and obtaining a spiritual kingdom through self-denial and death. Besides, John the Baptist had just been beheaded, and he knew that every day carried him nearer to the cross. He needed strength to endure. Jesus set us a beautiful example in praying so much. He did not pray simply to set the example. God heard and blessed him when he prayed, Hebrews 5, 7, and 8. He prayed for himself, for his disciples, through all time, and for sinners. If it was necessary for Jesus to pray, how much more is it necessary for us to pray? He prayed much. How much more should we pray? If he gave thanks, should not we? Many do not appreciate the privilege of prayer because they never pray. Now the disciples, while Jesus was praying, were struggling against the sea. In Matthew 14:24 through 26 we read, "But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, distressed by the waves, for the sea was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night he came unto them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a ghost. And they cried out for fear." While alone praying in the mountain, his disciples were struggling through the night with the boisterous and angry waves. They were in the midst of the sea, distressed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. The sea was about 6 miles across, and they had gone 25 or 30 furlongs, or about 3 to 3.5 miles. It had required 9 to 10 hours of hard rowing to go this far. From this we see how strong were the contrary winds. They could make no headway against them. The disciples were already tired and worn with the work of the day. when they undertook this voyage, the sea was a small inland body of water, 600 feet below the surface of the Mediterranean Sea, in a long, deep valley surrounded by lofty hills, intersected by deep gorges, and subject to such sudden storms as the one here described by the wind rushing down from the mountains of Lebanon or up the valley of Jordan. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 to 6 in the morning. Jesus knew his disciples were in distress in the sea. Mark 6:48 says, "And seeing them distressed and rowing from the mountainside and through the darkness of the night, he looked down upon them in their toil and trouble." No doubt his prayer embraced them and their greatest good and the greatest good of all men. When exhausted and helpless, they needed him. He appeared walking on the sea. When they had done all they can, he does not rest. Even now he is a present help in time of need. The current and winds now are frequently contrary to his disciples, but his eye always sees them, and his heart is touched with a feeling of their infirmities. Hebrews 4:14-16. Matthew, Mark, and John all state the fact that Jesus walked on the water. In his power over nature, he walked boldly on the water. Mark 6:48 says he would have passed by them. He did this to attract their attention and to reveal themselves to themselves. The disciples were not expecting Jesus to come that way. This was a new miracle to them. Mark 6:52 says they understood not concerning the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Had this impressed them as they should, they would have not have been so surprised at his walking on the water. But through failure to properly consider Christ's former miracles and to use the evidence he had already placed before them, their hearts were hardened. So it is today. This is no miracle. Therefore, they could not think it was Jesus. They were troubled and thought it was a spirit or apparition. An unreal appearance of a real person. They cried out for fear. And Jesus said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Let me read that. Matthew 14:27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." In kindness to allay their fear, Jesus spoke to them at once, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." How comforting these words! They recognized the familiar voice of their master, and their fears, like the heaving waves of the sea, were quieted by a word from him. The appearance of God through an angel to his people, or the appearance of Jesus to his disciples in some unexpected way, filled them with fear, and hence, "Fear not," or "Be not afraid." This is a frequent occurrence in the Bible. God's children should not be afraid now and shrink from death and the judgment. God abides with them, comforts them in trouble, soothes them in sorrow, and receives and blesses them in the judgment. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Psalm 23:4. In death's valley or shadow and in death itself, God's children should not fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love chaseth out fear, because fear hath punishment. "And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." 1 John 4:18. "It is I." It's literally, "I am." The same expression used in John 8:58, for which Jesus would have stoned Jesus. And in Exodus 3:14, where God appeared to Moses, "He rules the wind and the waves. He made them, and they obey his voice. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. But then Peter attempted to walk on the sea himself. Matthew 14 and verses 28 and 29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee upon the waters. And he said, Come. And Peter went down from the boat and walked upon the waters to come to Jesus. That's Peter, impulsive and self-confident. It's he who made this request. He may have desired in this to outdo the rest, but he had higher and nobler motives. He loved the Master and desired thus to show his confidence in him and his gladness at his return to them and to welcome him by going out to meet him. These must have been his motives. Jesus granted the request, and Peter, through confidence in his Master, at once stepped out upon the water and walked toward him. We do not know how far, but so long as faith lasted, he succeeded. While Jesus gave him this supernatural power, it was only according to his faith. While God saves us now by his grace, it is also through faith, Ephesians 2:18, and the faith which justifies or saves is an active, obedient faith. Peter's faith failed. Matthew 14 and verse 30, But when they saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. When Peter's faith began to fail, he began to sink. And his faith began to fail when he looked at the boisterous waves and not to Jesus. We lose courage today when we look down at the hard road we have to travel and the high hills in the way and not up to God, who gives more strength. And we lose faith in sailing over life's rough sea when we trust something else and not our Savior. But Peter had faith and confidence enough in Jesus to call upon him to save him when through fear he was sinking. It is not our troubles and dangers which destroy us, but our lack of faith in Jesus. Now Jesus rescued him. It says in Mark 14:31-33, And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and took hold of him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were gone up into the boat, the wind ceased. And when they were in the boat, worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and rescued the doubting and sinking disciple, and kindly reproved him for his doubt and lack of faith. Peter's faith and courage were real, but were not of sufficient degree. A year after this, Peter thought he would die before he would deny Jesus, but again his courage and faith failed. Our faith is tried in darkness and storm, and through exercise and trial is made strong. And through an increase of faith, we are brought into clearer light, sweeter peace, and greater work. Jesus helped Peter back into the ship, and when they entered it, the winds ceased. John 6:21 says, They were willing, therefore, to receive him into the boat. The same rough wind was blowing all the while up to that time. Then sudden calm filled them with as much wonder as Jesus walking upon the water. And they were sore amazed in themselves, Mark 6 and verse 51. Jesus had bidden them cross the sea, although it was rough and the winds contrary. They should have considered that they were in the path of duty, and that Jesus never forsakes one so long as he does as Jesus bids him, and that he who could magnify the loaves and the fishes until they would feed the thousands could walk upon the water and still the tempest.